When it is suggested at the India Science Congress that aircraft, planes existed thousands of years ago and even flew before between planets, or it is suggested at the same Science Congress that a helmet on Mars actually originated between two fighting kings in the Mahabharat, or more recently, when at the Pravasi Divas it is suggested by the ICCR head that the mathematical sign for infinity is actually derived from the Sheshnag, are we in danger of confusing science with mysticism and history with myth? On the one hand, there are those who have long argued that the achievements of ancient and medieval India in both science and mathematics have long been underplayed. But on the other hand, there are also scientists who are up in arms, one of them even leading a global petition against the kind of arguments that were made at the Indian Science Congress, saying this is not science, it is pseudoscience. When is science in danger of becoming conflated with superstition, mythology, and ritualism? When does science become pseudoscience? And what do we exactly mean when we talk about Vedic science? And Sudhanshu Trivedi, I'll start with you. One of the criticisms has been that there's usually a rigorous screening procedure before papers are presented. The fact that so many of these arguments are now being made, critics say, is to do with the BJP's ideological affinity for such theories, that this is a kind of Hindutva approach to science. Do you accept that argument?
What is the origin of the word mythology? It is a pure Sanskrit word. You have heard what Shankaracharya has said, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Mithya means unreal. This is not only derived, it is as it is taken from Sanskrit. Can you name any other civilization, culture, country, religion in the world in which mathematics is the part of a religious text? Ayurveda, by name itself, is a part of Vedas. The problem is of the Western mindset, where religion is standing against the development of science.
So you're saying there's no contradiction between
in
religion
Indian
and
context,
science?
In Indian context, there is no
contradiction. But everything we read is not scientific. There are things we read, for example, in our
one example I would
comics,
like to put
that we enjoyed, that were lovely fables and fairy tales,
I would like
not
to tell
facts.
One thing. Whenever there is a solar eclipse or lunar eclipse, who decides the date? It is the US observatory at NASA. Forget about the NASA. You just ask the Panchang, the traditional Hindu Panchang. Pandit ji ke panchang mein forget about the date, even the hours and minutes are same. Our panchang is going uncalibrated since 2100 years from the time of Vikramaditya.
Do you believe that planes existed thousands of years ago and they could fly not just forward but backward, that they flew between planets? Do you believe this happened?
The
do you believe
is,
in Anand Bodas's paper?
Yes.
Do you believe that planes existed thousands of years ago? Aircraft?
I can answer you with an example, then I will say yes.
Okay, what's your example?
50 years back, it was said, these Hindu sages are foolish. For acquiring knowledge, they are sitting in the caves. The moment your technology increases, your concept also starts changing. The problem is, the biggest wisdom, which Arthur Schopenhauer, German philosopher who translated Upanishads into German, has said that the Upanishadic philosophy is the highest wisdom of mankind.
So you're saying the example of the plane is metaphorical for some technology that existed then?
Whosoever the student of physics may know, in the initial stages, several concept of physics and mathematics are metaphorical or philosophical.
Okay,
even
Manish,
today the definition of mass is undefined.
Manish, you know, the Congress mocked and criticized what happened at the Science Congress. But Shashi Tharoor, one of your parliamentarians who's often in the headlines for, you would say, the wrong reasons, actually reproduced a paper that he wrote, an article he wrote in 2003, where he did argue, for example, the oldest surgeon in India was Sushrut, and that was not told enough to people. He also argued that we forget that India gave birth to zero. Is the Congress only opposing some of these theories for the sake of it?
There is undoubtedly enough evidence which is available, empirical evidence, that in the fields of metallurgy, medicine, there was a tremendous body of data which is available in traditional Indian knowledge. But when you juxtapose it against some of the very sublime theories,
the aircraft that can fly forward and backwards,
and you know, between planets, you know, then you are really running the gauntlet from the sublime to the ridiculous. In fact, I never ever gave it any serious credence till the time you decided to do a show on it. And
Then
I went and actually visited, you know, some of the stuff which has been written. Apparently, way back in 1973-74,
there was a paper that debunked this theory.
There were certain researchers who actually went into it in detail. and found that the entire conception was aerodynamically horrendous. So therefore, when you float such theories, you actually undermine the traditional body of knowledge.
So you're saying these kind of theories are in danger of even undermining the genuine achievements in ancient and medieval India. So that's one line, and then I want to get Amish Tripathi in. Literally one line.
Those who are a student of science must be knowing that who discovered that the oxygen is required for burning. It is Lebachier. And Lebachier's theory was burned down, and it said, look at the carbon dioxide around the fire.
What does that prove?
The problem is the mythological influence of West on the science, because mythology of West says this is final truth. Final
so you're
God.
Saying this as a clash
in our concept,
of,
it is neti.
Okay, you're saying
that
the clash. Okay, Manish, let me one line. The both of you have hogged the space.
And
now.
They believe in recognition.
Manish, one line.
There is absolutely, you know, no desire to hog this space. All I'm saying is, when printing traveled from the east to the west, a lot of traditional knowledge in the west got challenged, and those who challenged it were burnt on the stage as heretics. Yeah. To say that, you know, this is only unique to the Indian milieu is absolutely incorrect.
Can we bring in Amish Tripathi? Amish Tripathi, the best-selling author of the Shiva trilogy. Amish, I want to ask you, one of your recent articles said that when we talk about Vedic science or achievements of the Vedic age of ancient and medieval India, it would be too narrow-minded to classify this as the domain of right-wing groups alone. That there is a lot of richness there that needs to be studied. But do you agree with Manish that when we start confusing science with mythology, we're actually undermining the genuine achievements of our ancient heritage?
Firstly, I never agree or disagree with any political party. I never speak on politics. What I am going to say is that for ignorance to prosper, knowledge needs to be absent. And we need to understand that why do so many people, and most educated people, why don't they know anything about India's ancient scientific achievements? Mm. Even journalists who are among the more high IQ members of Indian society, when they were reporting on the Indian Science Congress, they couldn't differentiate between fantastical claims like interplanetary travel and genuine credible claims like what Dr. Harshvardhan said, that Maharshi Bodhayan did discover the Pythagoras theorem before Pythagoras did. That is actually credible. Or the fact that the first surgeries probably happened in India by Maharshi Shushruta. That is a credible fact. Why couldn't even journalists differentiate between something fantastical and something quite credible? Because this is not a part of our education system. I know mathematics. I'm a maths graduate, so I'm speaking of great mathematicians. But Brahmagupta, Bhaskaracharya, all of them are missing from our history books. If you don't spread knowledge, then you leave the field open for imaginary fantasists.
But my question to you is, in your book, for example, there is a clear depiction of nuclear weapons. And my question to you is, tomorrow somebody could turn around and literalize what you have written in the Shiva trilogy and say actually nuclear weapons existed back then. Is this the worry, that when you literalize some of our greatest stories and say this actually happened?
Okay, look, first of all, my books are fiction. I say that very clearly. Don't take it literally. Having said that, we shouldn't deride mythology or the philosophies that can be learned from it. Right? I'm a great lover of our myths and the philosophies that can be learned. Scientific facts are something completely different. The Shushrut Samhita is a scientific treatise. Maharshi Bodhayan Shulba Sutra are scientific. So, and most ancient scientists, at least in the eastern part of the world, they were very comfortable with their religiosity and science. It's only a modern Western concept that it is believed that to be scientific, you have to hate your religion. That's not the Indian way, that's not the Chinese way, that's not the Southeast Asian way. And I don't see why we have this concept that we have to make a choice between the two.
But I think the argument is what happens when you mix up, you know, not that the two are mutually exclusive, but that one can't be confused for the other. Gaur, let me bring you in. Do you accept this argument that because there isn't enough genuine exposure to many of our ancient achievements, the fantastical is getting mixed up with the factual?
Before I answer your question, I'm repeatedly reminded of something which I read in 10th or 11th class.
Yes.
Buri Shairi ke Nuksanat. I think it's high time that we should write something about Buri Science ke Nuksanat. I'm very worried because this kind of resurgence of mixing science with myths, superstitions, has been the phenomena in Pakistan during 70s and 80s. And we know what is happening in Pakistan. So my humble request to most people will be, please leave science alone. We have touched Mars.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody says that 7,000 years back, we were doing interplanetary motion, then you are insulting the whole ISRO team.
What specifically, what's been now, the most disturbing theory you've heard recently packaged as science?
If somebody says that we knew everything, that what we have done for 7,000 years, we have forgotten everything, we have sat on our bums, It is nonsensical. Leave science alone. Yes, there was a lot of knowledge, and I'm also reminded of a very good comment by a Chinese caste scientist. He said, okay, we were great in ancient period. Now let's move ahead.
Quick response.
On his nonsensical aspect, I would like to say 50 years back it
was said. No, I'm asking you, is it not nonsense to say that planes flew between planets thousands of years ago? Will you at least concede
science
that to me
considers
that this is nonsense?
That the man exists for more than 1 million years. And all achievements in the last 200 years, which is minuscule as compared to 1 million years, it is nonsensical.
What does that mean? I don't understand.
Means the development already taken in just 100 years and the rest of the 1 million years.
Can I just ask Sudhanshu a question?
I see lots of hands go up already.
Can I just ask Sudhanshu a question? Do you seriously believe that Ganesha's head, was the result of plastic surgery?
This is what the Prime Minister said.
Yeah, and not something which is divinely ordained, because I've always believed Ganesha, as you see him, is divinely ordained.
Was it and now we metaphorical or literal? I think that's
that it was an act of plastic surgery. Do you agree with that or not?
We are open-minded, like 50 years back we were saying, अरे cow dung से कोई खेती होती है, आदमी चांद पे पहुंच गया तो गाय के गोबर में पड़े हो, आज क्या हो रहा है? Today you are coming on organic farming. Just 50 years back you were saying herbal medicine, what rubbish.
Okay.
Go by terramycin medicine. Now you are going towards the herbal medicine.
Theory, even if
just 50
literal,
years back you were saying
okay, I want to get in Vijay Bhatkar.
Tree worshipping, rubbish. Now from Rio de Janeiro of 1992 to 2009 of Copenhagen.
Okay. Now you are basically saying you don't necessarily disagree that Ganesh could have been an example of early plastic surgery. Vijay Bhatkar, as somebody who's associated both with the IITs but was also associated with what you call Swadeshi science. What exactly is Swadeshi science, sir?
No, I'm associated with Vigyan Bharati.
Yes, which pursues the ancient tradition.
Which pursues,
yes.
I think, what has been India's contribution to science and technology till date.
Yes.
From the Vedic times, and what is the future of...
But please respond to what Dr. Gohar Raza has said. Why are we looking back?
I'll say that. Why we are looking back?
Yeah.
First thing, we must put the facts straight. I was in the Indian Science Congress. This is one of the 50 sessions which we had. The whole idea was that, and what I believe is that in Indian, any science congress, any professional science congress or computing science congress or conference, history of science should be an integral part.
But do you agree with this paper that was presented?
Do you agree that interplanetary aircraft
existed?
There was one of the papers which was quoting Bharadwaj Samhita or Bharadwaj Samhita.
Which has already been debunked in another paper of the Indian Science Institute in 1974.
Yeah, that's okay. But that was one of the papers, and the synopsis was presented. People did not know which manuscript the author is referring to. But what I want to tell is that history of science should be an integral part of science learning. And we are not been doing.
When is the history of science and when is it mythology? Who draws that distinction?
No, see, in the Indian science system or Indian knowledge system, starting from the Vedic time, first, the major concern is that what is valid knowledge? And what are the instruments of valid knowledge? There are six instruments of knowledge. Main one, observation, inference.
But did you see the petition that was signed by 220 global scientists, led by an Indian scientist at NASA, saying that this is terrible that this paper has been allowed into the Indian science?
The problem emerges from India, against the Indianness.
But this is an Indian in America. It's not even an American.
I agree that synopsis was presented, and based on that synopsis, they decided. I was not a part of that.
But you don't agree with that paper.
I don't accept that paper as it is.
You don't accept that
but,
paper.
But let me say, I've been involved in the development of supercomputers. I'm just telling you an example of the Tati. In that concern, in the computing development, I was interested who created the binary system first. And we are George Boole or Leibniz. But I go back to this one, Pingala Chanda Shastra. That is during the almost like Vedangas. So Pingala talked about first time in a very profound way the binary system. Should we computer science people not know about that?
Samit Basu, as somebody who's a science fiction writer, are you worried that we've lost the distinction or are in danger of losing the distinction because there's not enough exposure, as Amish said, to distinguish between the fantastical and the factual?
Varka, I'm just questioning all my life choices because it turns out that I might be one of the nation's top scientists. All these years I've been foolishly calling my work fiction. I can do you a much better flying machine in Vedic times than that, you know, really lame nonsense that we presented at the Science Congress. There's so much debate. Yeah, let's assume that, yes, we invented everything in the world. All knowledge originates from us. We are the finest culture. 8,000, 9,000 years ago, Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose is alive on Mars running a sweet shop. I don't care. So what, you know? I mean, why is a science congress, which is presumably a serious science forum, in a year where we actually did Mangalyaan, talking about how we were a great culture in the past? We were a great culture in the past. Fantastic.
So what concerns you the most about what we're hearing in our public discourse now?
My concern is that if, as a society, we are blurring the lines between fact and fiction, then I think that compromises both our real present and our real future.
Vibhu Puri, you're actually making a movie called Hawai Zada, which also deals with the fact that an Indian made the first plane before the Wright brothers, also based on Vedic science. Is this fiction or fact for you?
From our research, wherever we went, there were direct inferences that it did happen. It did happen 8 years before Wright brothers. People like Lokmanya Tilak did witness it. It was also accounted and published in press, but sadly we do not have accurate records. We do not have accurate records as to what did they actually fly, because according to my research, they flew something which was conical looking. Someone else came in and said it looked like the bird.
So for you, is your movie fictional or is it a...
It's a very fictional biopic. It's a fictional take on something that happened, an inspirational story, and I have treated it like that.
So it's fictional for you?
It is semi-fictional.
Okay, before I get Amish and Sudhanshu, I'm asking you again. Do you believe this interplanetary aircraft existed?
The least thing
you're not answering me in yes or no on this.
But let me complete the sentence.
And whether Ganesha is the result of plastic surgery.
Let me, I can answer, but you let me explain for 2 minutes.
Milk. Sorry, go.
Or did Ganesha milk drink? Very
did recently. Ganesha drink milk? Yes, okay.
Actually, I can answer in yes or no, but you have to complete my sentences.
Quickly.
Okay. I say yes, because we have to...
You say the interplanetary aircraft existed?
Yes, because we have to open to ideas. Like, how many of you know that the electron was discovered in which year? 1897. Then the proton was discovered in 1919.
No, therefore...
Then the neutron was discovered in 1931 and 1945. Atomic energy was there till 1895. It was said that the atom is the final undivisible particle. Whatever 1945 proved was foolishness in 1895.
So you're saying we don't have enough knowledge of the past. Okay.
The problem is religious dogma is dangerous, but the scientific dogma is much more dangerous.
Okay, one minute.
One of the disturbing things as a scientist for me is that science is not bound in national boundaries. Now here is an effort to contain science within Indian boundaries. There was an effort in Pakistan, there was an effort in Korea to contain it. Now that is what is dangerous. We should learn from others, and science progresses by learning from each other. Don't say that we had all the knowledge or we had none. Once you have raised the issue of history of science, yes, it should be part of curriculum.
Yes.
But it should be part of curriculum as a history of science, not as science.
Don't mix up the two things. Amish, my question to you is, you said if there had been enough exposure to the genuine achievements, the fantastical would not be confused with the fictional. Now, there are people who are actually perhaps willing to believe that the helmet on Mars did originate in the Mahabharata, or that the mathematical sign for infinity is derived from Sheshnag. Aren't you worried that people will mix up science with superstition, science with mysticism, history with myth?
Look, I mean, there's mixing that happens everywhere. If you're so worried about what Indians believe, let me tell you that in the US, 46% of Americans actually believe in creationism. They actually believe that God created the universe on the night before October 23rd, 4004 BC.
Yeah.
Now, what would be equally stupid then is to tar all of American science, all of American scholarship. You know, there's this wonderful line that I read in an editorial today that someone save us from the tyranny of the extremists. There's one bunch of extremists who believe that Indians were the only smart people in ancient India, and that everyone else was a bunch of monkeys. And there's another bunch of extremists who believe that Indians were all a bunch of monkeys, before the great British came and civilized us. God save us from both these extremists. The truth is somewhere in the middle. We were a great culture. There were other great cultures as well.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with us celebrating our own scientific achievements. That can be a source of inspiration.
But when you hear Ganesha being described as an example of plastic surgery, or Karn being described an example of early genetic science, or the mathematical sign for infinity being derived from Sheshnag, I mean, is this celebrating our culture or is this encouraging superstition?
I'm not sure what was actually said on the case of Lord Ganesh, but I can tell you as from what I know that Lord Ganesha's story is allegorical. The ancient Sanskrit word for elephant was hasti, and it was a symbol of wisdom. So actually Lord Ganesha's elephant head represents the acquisition of wisdom when you give up attachments, and the greatest attachment is the attachment to the mother, the most pure attachment.
Okay.
That's the allegorical metaphorical meaning of Lord Ganesha's story. Having said that, we cannot deny that Shushrut Samhita does speak of surgery. It does speak of reconstructive surgery, and that has actually been backed up by white-skinned Europeans, which obviously for us Indians will give it a lot of credibility.
I think let's not deny
and denigrate our genuine achievements as well. And I want to repeat again, if knowledge is absent, ignorance will prosper. Let's teach the history of our sciences.
Okay, Mohan, let me bring you in. As somebody who's both a corporate executive but also interested in science and mythology and the history of science, do you not feel that modern India, or the whole spirit of modernism, is that rationality, that all arguments must be rooted in rationality? So if Lord Ganesh being an example of plastic surgery is an allegorical or a metaphorical example, that is certainly okay. But if it is a factual example, or like Dinanath Batra, whose textbooks in Gujarat said that the Pushpak Viman was real, now, isn't this dangerous?
Right. This whole controversy seems to be about whether the mythology and Indian scriptures stand the scrutiny of science.
Yes.
Now, if you look at science, what is science? It is not only looking at something from a why perspective, it's also why not. Now,
okay.
If I were to look at something from a why not perspective, then a whole lot of possibilities open up. Is it that our civilization, all through tens and thousands of years, have happened in a linear fashion? Maybe yes, maybe no. I mean, is the civilization that we so proud of today, is it going to remain in the same manner? Maybe tomorrow, if there is a catastrophe, we might, you know, reduce to getting becoming a caveman or get into agrarian society.
But my question is that should a paper on interplanetary aviation be part of the Indian Science Congress, or could it be part of a conference on mythology? You see, I don't have a problem with the paper per se, but it should perhaps be part of the studying of myths.
Yeah, but let's examine the myths itself, right? So is it really possible that in the past, forget about the myths, something like this might have happened? Maybe tens of thousands of years back, right? And if it had happened...
But then what happened? The world regressed into losing all of this technology and all of this
science. It is definitely possible. It is indeed possible. Today, whatever we've achieved can also, you know, sometimes go away. It is possible in the coming days. What if there was a highly advanced civilization in the past? And all that what we are talking about in terms of Ganesha, so I mean, it's not Ganesha, I would say genetic science, aircrafts and all that used to exist at some point of
time. So you're saying it could have existed, then the world kind of ended, or cataclysmic something happened, and we're back to having had to start it from scratch.
And the scriptures that were
One minute. Samit, are you convinced at all by what
you're
hearing?
Totally convinced.
You're joking?
Yes.
Okay.
No, the thing is, look, there's room in the world for faith and spirituality and mythology. I just feel more secure if things that are called science and things that are called history are things that are verifiable and proved by, you know,
process of science,
as establishable fact. I'm perfectly willing to any kind of possibility, to any kind of theory. But I just think that if you're talking about the things that we've been talking about, perhaps Twitter is a better forum for discussing it than the Indian Science Congress.
Okay.
It's not a radical
Okay, Manish, you were wanting to come in there.
No, I think the question which you asked was very relevant, Barkha. That is this a subject which should have been discussed and debated at the Indian Science Congress? Because as I understand the purpose of the Science Congress, you present serious papers which are backed up by empirical evidence. Evidence which has been discussed, evidence which has been verified, and to a certain extent validated. Now, if you decide to run the gauntlet and really make or blur the distinction between mythology and science,
yeah. Then
this is, you know, okay, where is this going to end?
Let's start taking questions. First, a question to the audience. Those of you who think that it's possible that thousands of years ago aircraft existed and flew between planets, raise your hand. those who think it's possible. So a few hands going up, and I want to just bring in first the people who think it's possible, and then we'll go to the majority that thinks it's absolutely impossible. Yes.
What I know, that I know. जो मुझे नहीं पता वो कैसे पता चलेगा ये बताइए, उसके लिए रिसर्च करनी पड़ेगी. अगर आपको नहीं पता तो नहीं,
तो रिसर्च हुआ 1974 में इंडियन साइंस इंस्टीट्यूट ने इसको रिसर्च किया.
आपने, आप जो कह रहे हैं उसमें जो पहले था उसके बारे में आपने कब रिसर्च करा कि ये कभी था ही नहीं?
लेकिन इसमें रिसर्च हुआ था, इसमें रिसर्च हुआ था 1974 में. ये पेपर छापा गया,
वन ऑफ द ग्रेटेस्ट साइंटिस्ट, ही डिड रिसर्च एंड अ होल टीम वाज इन्वॉल्वड एंड दे केम टू द कंक्लूजन दैट देयर इज नथिंग इन इट. Horrendously unaerodynamic. This question that 7,000 years back, was there a plane, an interplanetary plane? Is a wrong question.
Okay, let me reframe the question.
Not science.
Those of you who believe that it is dangerous that some of these myths are being offered up as science, raise your hand. I'm seeing a lot of hands go up. Let's get some of the young people here.
When it is not tested, how is it science? Science is a discipline which works on experiments, verification and validations, and then something you have like planes existed 7,000 years ago without testing, without validating anything. If you say that stuff, I don't think.
Amish, do you want to respond to that quickly, and then Vibhu, you can add to that. That when something is not tested, verified, corroborated, it cannot be called science. It cannot be part of a science congress.
Look, then you'll have to junk most of theoretical physics. Supersymmetry, for example, it hasn't been theoretically tested. It's going to be tested now when the LHC is switched back on. And then we'll know whether it actually there is no. I'm a lover of theoretical physics as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is actually just theories, which just explains facts as we see it today. What I believe is, if you're a lover of science, you should not say anything is impossible until you go and test it. We shouldn't make our scientific theories
into God as well. But in the interplanetary aircraft case, it was tested. In the interplanetary aircraft example, the Indian Institute of Science presented a very comprehensive paper saying, debunking these claims. Amish, so it was okay,
No, but there is something
Maybe the science might be at the level of studying it.
There is something which is called hypothesis and there is something which is called theory.
Yeah.
Now, don't mix up the two words. Hypothesis is allowed in science. It only qualifies to become a theory when it is tested and validated.
Or through peer review, mathematical model.
Stopping any idea lot of theoretical, is but
lot of theoretical
no amount of peer review can
is based
can
on assumptions of the constants.
Like
no
amount of peer
and
review.
And you're going to
prove one at a time. Right? Or you're saying no amount of peer review can
no
prove
no amount of peer review in science can prove a
oh,
thing.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about aeronautical travel. I'm not an aeronautical engineer. I don't know. I'm saying that if you're a scientist, you should not turn science into God.
I'm an active scientist.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that peer review is done to find out if you have committed a mistake.
Okay.
But the proof lies either in experiment.
Okay. I'm not denying that. Okay. I want to take a question here. Yes.
Yeah, okay, so of course it's possible that there was genetic science in India and aeronautical travel. It's also possible that we live in the eye of a dragon, and it's possible that this studio is in the top of the Empire State Building. But
I wish it were.
But the point is, there's no reason to believe so, and the burden of proof lies on the person making a claim, yeah, which is fair in science.
Yeah.
And to make these claims is to undermine and teach students a wrong methodology of science and a wrong methodology of reason. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I do believe that the Vedas and ancient Indian literature hold a lot of philosophical, cultural, even scientific value, but to blanket all of them into one category and saying that genetic science existed and plastic surgeries were of the highest order and Ganesha's head was plastic surgery onto human body is undermining not only actual scientific work, but these own works themselves through a literalist interpretation, because they don't warrant a literalist interpretation.
What is there to disagree with in this?
Bharka, what I'm trying to say is again and again is that we had a glorious history of science, starting from the Vedic times, and we know the milestones which have been mentioned here. Nowhere in the world, I think I would say that, Kranthi, the validity, what is the valid knowledge? That question has been debated as has been enunciated in India.
But certain things do come to be accepted as fact.
For example, theory of relativity, theories around gravity, whether the world is flat or round. I mean, these are not in perennial dispute. कि कुछ भी हो सकता है. Open mind means कुछ भी हो सकता है.
I'm not saying open mind. Indian tradition insists that it must be tested on valid knowledge, valid instruments of knowledge.
Okay, I'm going to allow this young man a quick interjection.
Okay, so Isaac Asimov wrote an essay which basically, it was titled The Relativity of Wrong. So while I do agree with the fact that nothing is fact, the thing is science is an endeavor to achieve less wrong facts. So saying the earth is flat is wrong.
Yeah.
Saying the earth is a sphere is also wrong, but saying that the earth is a sphere is less wrong than saying that the earth is flat. Yeah. And that is what science is. It's progressing towards the less
minimizing the wrong. Very, very important point. Manish, I'll bring you in and then Vipu. Yeah.
Is this really about science?
Possibly, you think it's about politics?
It is. Well, in the sense, it is about trying to, at times, build a very distorted national image of yourself. You know, when you try and extrapolate the past to the present, and then you try and attribute knowledge, wisdom, achievement to it. You are really trying to build a very perverted sense of nationhood. So I do not know how much is this about science as it is about, you know, trying to break this myth that we were the great
nation. So it's a self-image, self-image promotion of countries.
Yeah, but why are we in such a hurry to classify something as nonsensical? I mean,
because as I asked you, as this young man said, do we not accept certain things as factual today?
No, we need to scrutinize from a scientific perspective, right? No,
are you saying anything is possible, that everything we believe today to be real could be disproven tomorrow?
Quite right, that is one of the possibilities, but another possibility
is
that
could be flat.
The world could be flat was from the scientific perspective at that point of time.
Religious books, which are not yet denied.
Fall off the edge.
No.
Or at the moment,
I'm asking you a serious question. If anything is possible, then it's possible to
about the Vedic part.
Yes.
Now, during the Vedic times, if it is possible that at that point of time when these people wrote about these aircrafts and all these kind of things, they were talking about something that had happened tens of thousands of years earlier. So they were at that point of time in a state where they could not have.
Okay, so that should be coming.
How it is perverting the national image at the international level? I would like to quote Werner Heisenberg, which has given the uncertainty principle, in a book named Uncommon Wisdom, written by his friend Fritzo Capra. On page number 42, he has written that the entire concept of interconnectedness, relativity and uncertainty, which he was unable to comprehend, he got conclusion by meeting with Rabindranath Tagore on discussion with Vedantic philosophy. Second thing, you know who is the scientist who has assembled the message sent into the space? It was Carl Sagan.
Yes.
Who died in 1996. Go and search the YouTube. Carl Sagan is saying it is the only ancient Hindus whose cosmological equations meet with the today's world.
Okay,
and just 100 years back, rebirth was a mythology. Today, rebirth of the universe is there by Big Bang.
But rebirth of ours is not there.
So how logical it is?
No, it is a good example. Now, rebirth or reincarnation is something that many people believe philosophically, or their faith tells them that. But should it be taught in a science class?
Yes, of course, because the Big Bang theory is there. It is rebirth of universe is going on. And we are part of the universe.
Go on one second.
The Big Bang theory is not about the rebirth of the universe. It is about trying to find the genesis of the universe. How it came into
existence.
There's a distinction between the two.
This is again. I can have a 5 minutes discussion and I can
prove it. No, you don't have 5 minutes. Go ahead and then I want to take questions.
5 minutes should be given to a person who is saying that it is about rebirth. You do not understand science. You do not understand
with
your scriptures.
Due apology, I would like to say that whether it is the electron rounding the protons or the universe rounding the planets, it's all cyclic in this universe. It is a continuum, as Einstein has proved. It
you
is
are
a time and space continuum.
You are insulting the great sages, and you are also insulting the great scientists.
Let's take a question and then we'll come back to Vibhu and Amish.
You should also consider.
One minute.
In the whole course of the debate, all I saw that the definition of science rests in the realm of Eurocentricity. Whatever, you know, is proved empirically and whatever, you know, English says is right. Just because it was in Sanskrit, we cannot deny that there could be such a possibility.
So you're saying there's a Western bias when it comes to science.
In India,
okay,
there has been
a...
If I were to go back 100 years back and there was a pregnant lady and say, you know what, I want somebody to just cut my tummy and take my child out. Barkha, you would laugh at it.
No, I would laugh at what?
But in
that childbirth was possible?
Childbirth hasn't.
But if you told me that immaculate conception is a scientific theory as opposed to a matter of faith, I would say that those are two very different things. But should immaculate conception be taught in a biology class on how children are born?
No, and no, I'm not talking about immaculate conception.
But
I'm
it's just an example.
It is just an example. Yes.
Barka, just 20 years back, whose father was a matter of faith? Now it is a matter of scientific proof.
But thank God, sir.
So that's why I am saying. That's why I am saying, be open to ideas. Don't rubbish anything.
Okay.
There were so many Hindi movies in 50s, 60s, 70s on this concept.
Okay, let's get a question here, then we'll go back to Amish and Vipul.
What I really want to know is, don't scientists have more important things to discuss than what happened 7,000 years back?
Today, the biggest challenge before Google and the search engine is that, can I speak to human language to a computer? And can I get the answer in human language? Now here, I think what the scientists and Indian major project going on is that study the Paninian grammar, study the most structured grammar which we have got, which can be, you know, a language can be encapsulated in 4,000 rules, and we are studying that. And I will ask a question, search engine, in the end of you studying Paninian grammar, which came years, thousands of years, thousands of years before, and we are trying to find clues. To really,
but I think the question, sir, is which forum what is said at. I think that's very important.
It is a very scientific
forum. So for example, if I can ask you, you know, if Hawaii Zada was taught as fact in science classes, it would be very different from a fictionalized.
I think Hawaii Jahaj is hijacking the whole issue. That is not the issue.
No. His movie is called Hawaii Zada. That's why I'm asking him about it. His movie is called that. Okay, please answer. You said my movie is a work of fiction. I think it's very important to define the lines of what is fiction and what is fact.
I might not have a political standpoint or even a scientific standpoint, because that is not my area of expertise.
Yes.
My area of as an expert lies as an artist.
Yeah.
What is reality and what is surreal?
Yeah.
What is magic real? Somewhere I think science, mythology, facts would all probably, for someone, something would be real, for someone else would be magic real. As an artist, as a storyteller, it takes you from the known to the unknown, and from the unknown probably to the known again. Things are ever evolving.
This is what I'm hearing again and again, but if things are ever evolving, does that mean we can take nothing as fact? I want to put that to Amish, but we'll take a question here before. I believe you're a pilot, so where do you come in on whether the aircraft you flew actually existed a few thousand years ago?
The flight was possible many years ago, and those amount of years leading these now, it's equal proportion. The technology would have more been advanced. 40 engine aircraft, the whole India would be needed as a runway, and the crew, the pilots, and whatever technology. Now the Germans can also say that our Volvo 2 helmet looked like the helmet found on Mars.
Yeah.
So now the Germans would say that we fought on Mars. Yeah. But now then we would say, no, Germans, you are crazy, because we are Indians. If we give it to a child, this theory, his inquisitive nature would die. He would look within us and not look out of the box.
Okay, Amish, please answer that. If things are ever evolving, if it's about keeping an open mind, are you saying that nothing we are taught in science right now can be treated as the final word? That tomorrow something could come along and completely make us question everything we know?
Science itself says that. It is not the final word.
Let Amish answer that. Amish.
Okay, no. Do you want a philosophical answer or a scientific answer?
I want both, because I want both, and they might be the same, okay, they might be different.
The good news is, this is one of those places where spirituality and science actually agree.
Yeah.
Spirituality actually believes that the entire world is an illusion, and the real is the Paramatma himself, the Brahman, the universal force. Science also says that actually, you, for all you know, we might discover a new theory 50 years later, and scientists may be laughing that we actually believed in the standard model of the universe.
Okay.
And as an add-on, if I may just say, I'm delighted that kids these days are reading Isaac Asimov, whoever that guy was who said it, like, thumbs
he's
up,
right,
man.
Here, I mean, yeah.
I'm very happy.
Okay.
Read my books too.
Read Amish Tripathi and Isaac Asimov, fair enough. Mohan and then Samit Basu, then I've got to go into a break.
Actually, if you look at it really, what is science today? 500, 600 years old, the way we understand it. It is a very juvenile state at this point of time. Most of about things about the universe we don't know. So to interpret something based on a knowledge which is not sufficient enough for you to interpret it, that itself is scientifically
wrong. Okay, I want Samit and Gohar to respond.
So before we ridicule something, you know, we need to be first clear as to whether we are standing on the right platform or not.
So please respond to that if knowledge is constantly evolved, then how can we be sure that there are no certitudes, and there are no certitudes available even in science?
Now see, here's the thing. Knowledge will always constantly evolve. We will never know everything.
Now, the philosophers and the dreamers and the people with imagination and the storytellers will always be several years ahead or millennia ahead of the people with the measuring instruments.
Yeah.
But when we are looking at the people slowly plodding behind with their measuring instruments, verifying things, let's call that science. Let's leave the rest to possibility.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, final comments from a panel, a few more questions. Is it important which forum you express what idea at? Many people have many beliefs that have no verifications. But should they be called science? I think that's the key question. Coming back for final comments after a quick break.
Question for Sudhanshu ji. Why all this is coming 6 months after Mr. Modi has come and not all these years that science has progressed, why just now it has come out?
When you started studying Hindi, after Britishers left and Congress came in the power. So when the power changes, the true concept of Indianness, it was subdued by the Macaulay School of Thought in 20th century, 19th century and Marxist school.
Pseudoscience. When does science get confused with mysticism and history with myth? Before we take final comments from a panel, a number of young people here have a lot of questions. Go ahead.
यहाँ पर पूरी डिस्कशन में मैंने सुना कि किसी एक ने भी कोई भी वेद में इनमें से आप एक पंक्ति कोट कीजिए और उसके आधार पर बोलिए कि ये चीज डिस्प्रूव्ड है. और गणेश जी का जो प्लास्टिक सर्जरी है मजाक के तौर पर लिया जा रहा है. ऋग्वेद में एक और कहानी है रानी विशपला की, जो राजा खेल की पत्नी थी. उनकी जब टांग टूट गई थी तो an amputated limb was connected to her leg. That is an accepted science today.
But आपने एक वर्ड यूज किया कहानी. Now the point is, अगर आप इसको कहानी कहें तो कोई disagreement नहीं होगी. आप इसको science कहें तो verification.
नहीं, पर ऋग्वेद में कहानी दी हुई है, लेकिन सुश्रुत की जो writings हैं, उसमें आपका पूरा procedure.
Go ahead, I want you to respond to this. There's enough there.
I just want to say one thing. Yeah. A very serious comment was made that science is about 100 years old. No, I think science is
500.
About 5,000 or 7,000 years old.
Okay.
Modern science, yes, it is about 500 to 800 years old. Now, what we know as modern science is a culmination of a lot of science that humanity generated. We have contributed and we should be proud of it that our sages contributed to it. But so Chinese did the same thing. But that doesn't mean that we get into pseudoscience.
So you're saying some of it is Manish's point about countries looking to express self-images.
I have a question for Sudhanshu ji. Why all this is coming 6 months after Mr. Modi has come and not all these years that science has progressed, why just now it has come out?
When you started studying Hindi, after Britishers left and Congress came in the power. So when the power changes, the true concept of Indianness, it was subdued by the Macaulay School of Thought in 20th century, 19th century and Marxist School of Thought in 20th century.
All the answers given by people who support this, I came here with an open mind, are absolutely ambiguous because I have been convinced by people who are against it.
Manish, before you add, we'll add a question here.
I would like to put a light upon the fact that Sanskrit is the most compatible language for computers. Coincidence? I merely think not.
Okay, Manish, I think the fault lines in this debate are that there is a deracinated, westernized view of everything that happened in India's past on the one extreme. And on the other hand, you have this kind of complete blind faith, some would call it. Where does the Congress fall between these two stools? Because it is now a political question, because he's linked it to the BJP government, and Sudhanshu is saying it's about suppressed Indianness coming to the fore.
If there is somebody who wants to take a revisionist view of history, a revisionist view of science and various other things, you know, for ideological reasons, then there is an inherent difficulty. If this government then decides to incorporate a new subject called scienceology, whereby, you know, science is not abused, mythology is not abused, faith is not abused, and they can go on with their revisionist agenda.
Is that an acceptable middle ground? Science?
No, not at all. Not at all. See, the question is that when we are teaching Pythagoras, I want that, you teach Pythagoras, nobody's going to question of. But Bodhayanas, Shulabh Sutra, has discovered this times in the history, admitted by the Western historians themselves. I want that to be part of that.
what Manish is saying is the impact of Western mindset, where science is different, mythology is different.
But
in ours, the Vedic mathematics, Ishlokas are a rhythmic religious rituals in the Vedas.
Okay, if you are saying that these things have happened in the past, then you're insulting today's science. That we acquired plastic surgery for Lord Ganesha, but we cannot do it today. We're not progressing. We're getting demoted in the field of science. This is what you
might be able
to do. Okay, Mohan, take that.
Let me take that question. Forget about Ganesha. Transplantation, the way we understand it today, is probably at a very, very infantile state. Another 200, 300 years. Probably this will be passé. It will be possible.
No. Her question is different. Her question is you're actually saying that science has regressed.
So the answer is that the science is not advanced enough yet.
No, but it's regressed.
It was advanced. Yes, it was advanced. That is what you're claiming.
I'll tell you when science becomes pseudoscience. It is when you stop celebrating what actual science is. I feel that the entire Vedic corpus is a pool of information. Now you take out the science, you leave the rest. Let's not make this a competition about Ganesha's head or interplanetary travel. Let's be grown up. Now I agree that the Indian civilization was a great civilization. Yeah. But what's happened is that the Westerns have packaged their civilization better and we refuse to do that.
Manish, final comments. We start with you. Yeah.
If I understand him correctly, is he saying that the Prime Minister is not a grown-up?
What I'm saying is, let not Ganesha's head or Karan's birth hijack this discussion.
I would like to say one thing.
Okay, last comments.
Just 2 years back, yoga was condemned because the Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh government has included in it. Yes. Now, 177 countries are accepting this. This is a separate agenda. No, this is the true Indian wisdom which is getting acknowledged after this government came in the past.
Okay. Question here.
Sir, you were saying that we should discriminate between religion and science. We cannot mix them both together. But sir, don't they stand incomplete without each other?
Let Samit take that. Metaphysics, the fact that actually because we do not have the answers to the universe's many questions, the hard boundary between science and spirituality doesn't necessarily exist.
In fact, I completely agree that science and spirituality are incomplete without each other.
Yeah.
This also implies that they are different things.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes, with both of them together, this will further our search for greater understanding and greater knowledge. But they are different things. Let's not say they are the same thing.
Let's not conflate them. No, okay, Amish Tripathi, last comments from you.
The key thing is, the positive thing is at least we are discussing this subject. Our entire education system, our entire narrative for much of our independent era was colonial. There was a disregard for ancient Indian achievements. And let's realize that what we are actually talking about is not science. We are talking about the history of science. If you find credible evidence, then that should be taught in our history books. We have to draw inspiration from our ancient great scientists and try and become great scientists ourselves today.
Okay, very last question.
It's more like a view. I think basically there's a very fine line between fact and fiction, and in our Indian community that line is religion. Basically, if nothing is above our understanding, so we put it in the religious section.
Okay, 30 seconds to everybody. Vibhu, I'll start with you. Yeah.
It's very blurred. Fact and fiction, very blurred.
Manish.
Well, certain things should be presented at the Indian History Congress and other things should be presented at the Science Congress. As long as you maintain that distinction, I think we'll be fine.
Sudhanshu Trivedi, what is the suppressed Indianness?
I would like to quote a sentence from Vedas, Ano Bhadra Kritvo Antavishuta. Let the noble thought comes from all the side. No, do not stop even from past.
Mohan.
Science is about examining everything and anything. And we should also look at everything from a why not perspective.
Okay. Vijay Bhatkar.
I think one of the greatest scientists had said, science is a sort of belief in the current knowledge system. I think we are going to understand the reality in completeness. Science will progress. India had contributed a profound knowledge system to the world, which we should study.
Summit.
I think if you open up science to fiction writers, you're in for a whole heap of trouble because we are very good at it.
Okay, go on.
Science has its own spirituality, its own aesthetics, and its own culture. Same is the case with every religion. Don't mix the two.
I think we'll end on the note that there's a point taken about how some of our education narratives have been colonized, but there's an equally strong point taken about how superstition or embracing mythology as science cannot be confused with the spirit of inquiry, which is what science and rationality rests on. Thank you very much for all your questions and to the panel today. Thank you.